I say probably, the second of three on this topic. There's a possibility it'll bleed over into a fourth, but I don't think so. I think we can do it without a fourth. We'll have to see. But our topic is, as per the top of the source sheet, davening in unclean spaces. And last time, we introduced a set of cases in which there would be a problem with somebody davening or reciting a bracha, wearing tefillin, saying shema, in a space because it is considered unclean. And we talked about what unclean might refer to. Either there is excrement there, there's urine there, there's equipment there that's dedicated to holding excretions, there's a smell, some kind of foul material. And we had said that we take very seriously not to daven, not to say shema in a space like that. So what we then started to do after we introduced the topic was to see key passages of Gemara that are the building blocks for where we're going to go in halacha. And the first category, the first area, was where there is tsoa, excrement, that is on one's person. It's actually on the skin. And we saw the Gemara in Brachos Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, which said that in the event that there is tsoa on somebody's skin, and in a case where it's covered up and there's no smell, there's a debate between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda as to whether one is able to daven. Rav Huna said, yes, you could, because kol ha-neshama tahalil ka, it's the neshama that blesses God, that sings to God. So as Rashi said, well, I only care about where the mouth and nose are, where you breathe. On some other part of the body, it's not a problem. As long as you can't smell it, as long as you can't see it, you're fine. Rav Chisda disagreed, based on the pasuk, kol atzmosai tomarna Hashem mikamocha, all of my bones say Hashem, who is like you, so all parts of the body. So if any part of the body has this tsoa on it, you're not going to be able to daven. Now, I realized when I was preparing for this week that there was another Gemara that I really should have brought. And so I put it on the source sheet. If you take a look at source Beis, actually, I was going to mention source Aleph first. I forgot that I was going to do that first. When I said that we're very careful about not davening in a space where there is foul material, where there's a foul smell. So I mentioned last time, it occurred to me in the course of the shir, that there's a classic story involving Rav Elimelech of Lezhensk being in prison and not being able to daven because there was something foul smelling there. There was a chamber pot or whatever it was there. But I couldn't remember the specifics. So I looked online and I found a record of this story. And I gave you the link for it at the top of the source sheet. I didn't bring you the story itself on the source sheet, but if you were to look at that website, you would find the following story. The two saintly brothers, Reb Zusha and Reb Elimelech, who lived in 18th century Poland, wandered for years disguised as beggars, seeking to refine their characters and encourage their deprived brethren. In one town, the two brothers, who later became famous mentors to many thousands of Jews, earned the wrath of a, quote, real beggar who informed the local police, who cast them into prison for the night. As they awoke in their prison cell, Reb Zusha noticed his elder brother weeping silently. Melech, why do you cry? Asked Reb Zusha. Elimelech pointed to the pail situated in the corner of the room that the inmates used for a toilet. Jewish law forbids one to pray in a room inundated with such a repulsive odor, he told his brother. This will be the first day in my life in which I will not have the opportunity to pray. And why are you upset about this? Asked Reb Zusha. What do you mean? Responded his brother. How can I begin my day without connecting to God? No prayer, no tefillin, no Torah study, all because of the foul smell. But you are connecting to God, insisted Reb Zusha. The same God who commanded you to pray each morning also commanded you to abstain from prayer under such circumstances. In a location such as this, you connect to God by the absence of prayer. His brother's viewpoint, allowing him to view his problem as part and parcel of his relationship with God, elated Reb Elimelech's heart, a new way to serve God, not to pray. And they start to dance and they're singing. They're so happy that they're connecting to God in this unusual way. And then the prison guard hears the commotion coming from the cell. He finds out that the reason why they're dancing and singing and so happy is because of the chamber pot. And so he takes out the chamber pot, and then they're able to go daven. So that was the story that I was remembering last week. But going back into what we were talking about, and welcome to those who have now arrived in person. This issue of tzoa on a person's skin, where we said last week from Brachos Chavhei that in the event that there's no smell and it's covered up, there's a debate between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda as to whether one may daven, requires that we also see another Gemara, which I had not brought last week. If you take a look at source Beis on the sheet, this is a Gemara New Malamed Amad Aleph. It's a little gross, it's a little graphic, nature of the topic. Take a look. Amar of Papa. Rav Papa says, "Soa bimekoma asur likros kriyas shema." He says, in the event that there is feces and it's in its place, meaning where it emerges from the body, that's what we're talking about. So asur likros kriyas shema, you're not allowed to say shema. If a person has excreted and there's stuff there, not allowed to say shema. Hechi dami. So the Gemara asks, what's the case? Eden nireis. Pshita, if it's visible, then obviously you're not allowed to daven like any other visible excrement. Idaloni res, if it's not visible, lo nitna tara lamalachi ashares. A person is not responsible to make sure that there's no excrement in his system. That doesn't make any sense. The Torah is not given to malachim, meaning you're not responsible to make sure that that there's nothing in your lower intestine. That doesn't make any sense. That's not something you could ever manage. So what do we mean when we say that in the event that there is tzoa in the place where it emerges, you can't daven? Lo, tzricha de yoshev v'nireis omed ve'ena nireis. And what the Gemara says is there is a point in the system where the tzoa could be on a spot which is sort of the outer edge, but not quite out. It isn't really visible. If a person is standing up, it will end up being concealed inside the person. However, if the person were to sit down, it would become visible. So that in that case, that borderline case, there is a problem. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Umayshna mitzoa al besara. Why is this different from the discussion where it's on somebody's skin? The Itmar, where we learned the Gemara in Brachos that we saw last week, which said, "Soa al basara o shahel yad of beis hakiseh, Rav Huna amar mutar likros kriyas shema, Rav Chisda amar asur likros kriyas shema." We already discussed this. We said that assuming there's no smell and assuming that it's covered up, the rule is Rav Huna says you're allowed to say shema, Rav Chisda says you're not allowed to say shema. What's the difference between that and this soa, which is at the spot where it emerges from the body? So the Gemara answers, Bimekoma nafish zuhama. It is filthier, dirtier, at that point where it emerges from the body. And therefore, the rules are stricter. Even if it's covered up, even if it doesn't smell, one still is not entitled to daven. One still is not able to say shema. That's what we're saying. So a person uses the washroom. They have a responsibility to clean themselves well, to make sure that there's nothing there at that spot. That's the that's what emerges from this Gemara in source Beis Yuma Daf Lamed. Clear? Okay. Clear for everybody online? Have what in their system?
They have bidets.
Oh, bidets, really?
Yeah.
That I haven't heard of.
Yeah, I've heard of some yeshivas.
That's very interesting. Okay. Where this does come up is when people have an anxiety disorder. They become hyper concerned about this. It's something that isn't Judaism specific. It's something that occurs to people who are not Jewish at all. It's the same thing. It's manifest, this concern for cleanliness, and is it there? But in the context of halacha, they become very concerned about this. And what poskim will generally do is to tell them there's a maximum number of times that you can wipe and that's it, and then move on. Because it's very unhealthy otherwise. They really become obsessive over it. But this is the issue of tzoa that is on one's person. What about psoa that is in one's space? So that was the big discussion that we had last time. And what we had said, based on the psukim about a military camp, v'ayamachanecha kadosh, lo yir'ebachar avas davar, so we had two different views as to what exactly the problem is. The view of the Rosh is that the problem is if the tzoa is within your machaneh, within what is called your camp, which, strictly speaking, we assume is within your four amos, but we saw there are other ways to define it, but that would be a problem. And then you had another pasuk, v'lo yir'ebecha ervas davar. You don't want God to see in you that which is normally covered, a pasuk that we usually associate with parts of the body that are normally covered. However, the Rashba says it also applies to tzoa in the event that tzoa is visible. So even if it's not in your four amos, if you're able to see it from where you're davening, you have a problem. And we said the following halachos. We said if tzoa is behind a person, they need a four amma gap, about 7 feet, between themselves and the tzoa. If tzoa is in front of them, it has to be beyond the space that they could normally see. And the reason I say the space they could normally see is if it's at night and the room is dark, that doesn't exempt you from the problem. You need to make sure that you're not able to see it and that you wouldn't be able to see it if it was light. If you have somebody who's legally blind or somebody who has poor eyesight, they can't say, well, I can't see it. That doesn't help. You go by a standard person's ability to see, assuming it is in front of the person. We said if a person is walking through a dirty area, one is not allowed to daven. On the other hand, we said, if somebody is able to see the excrement through a glass cover, then they are able to daven. It is considered to be covered. Even though you're able to see it, that still constitutes a cover. And even within the view of a lawyer, Abachar Vas Davar, that's still okay. Those were halachos that we stated separate from seeing it in the Gemara. One note, last week, because I had a neonatologist here, I just was giving examples and giving cases, and I threw out the case where you could see them changing the diapers in the NICU. So somebody emailed me, somebody listened to it online, and he's correct. I was just giving a case very quickly, and I think when I gave the case, I said, I'm not really being specific. But he pointed out, and it's correct, and I brought you the Shulchan Aruch on it in Source Gimel in case anybody is curious, that the rule is that excrement which a baby produces, until it reaches the stage where babies normally start to have grain, does not count, as far as halacha is concerned, to prevent somebody from davening. I'm going to use the term even though I know it's not quite the same. Meconium, is it? Meconium, yeah. Right. So it isn't really only meconium, because I think meconium stops well before somebody reaches that age where they start them on grain. But nonetheless, the idea is that in halacha, we don't consider that tzoa, and therefore there's no problem in the NICU. But in any case, So that tzoa, that kind of tzoa, would not be a problem, but I say not a problem. And yet, we have to see, we didn't get to this yet, but we will see it hopefully today, that in the event that there's anything that has a foul smell, and foul smell is something that society generally defines, but anything that generates a foul smell can disqualify it as a space in which to daven. So even if this doesn't qualify as tzoa halachically, if it has a really bad smell, you still won't be able to daven there. So, last time we saw one Gemara, it was Brachos Chavav Amad Aleph with Rav Huna, and Rav Huna, the Mishnah had said in Brachos Chav Beis Amud Beis that you have to be four amos away, and Rav Huna said that means if it's behind you. If it's in front of you and you can see it, you have a problem. And we said either that's true because you take the view that lo yir'ebecha ervas davar, you shouldn't be able to see it, or because anything you can see defines your space. As long as it's in the same building, if you're able to see it, it's part of your space. If it's outside the building and you can see it, we don't consider that your space just because you can see it. It's outside the building. But if it's in the building and you can see it, even if it's beyond four amos, it'll still be considered your space. That's the position of the Rosh. So that was one Gemara. Second Gemara that we saw was Brachos Chav Dalet Amud Beis, in which Rav Huna was lenient to allow davening when somebody is walking through a dirty area, as long as he just covers his mouth. He said that's okay. Why wasn't that a problem of Ahaya Machanecha Kadosh? It's in your machane, because when you are moving, whatever tzoa is there is not called part of your machane. That was his position. Okay. That's all we saw last week. Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, it's amazing how you know I have something to ask. I think there's a similar concept with Ohalot, where if you're not under a roof of a building, you're walking under a tree, and somebody's there, somebody is Tommy, and you don't stop, you don't become Tommy.
Right. So it's not directly applicable, although we do use the word tuma in both contexts, interestingly. But yes, the idea that something that is moving is not said to occupy the space in the way that something is stationary does appear in both areas of halacha. You're right. It's interesting.
Isn't there I forgot the name that the Amoraites asked, why did this so long? And he says, because I had never done it in a dirty alley.
So there is, and there's a discussion in that Gemara about, but wait a minute, not just on this case, but on a few of the things that are said. I think this is Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches, where there are other things also that are said there as like, did this or didn't do that, and we're like, but that's straight halacha. And so there's some discussion about exactly why do they feel that earned them long life? Yeah, there is such a discussion. So the third Gemara that we need to see on this issue of tzoa in a person's space is a Gemara about where tzoa is visible through a glass. I already gave you the halacha, but this we're seeing the Gemara on it. So take a look at source Dalet, please. Brachos Chaf Hei Amud Beis. Amar Rava, tzoa ba'ashashis muter likros kriya shma kinegda. If tzoa, I'm going to put the link in the chat again for the source sheet in case anyone doesn't have it. If tzoa is in an ashashis, and ashashis is a lantern. I think I mentioned it last time as well. So the idea is that there is a glass enclosing it. So the rule is, mutar likros kriya shma kinegda, you're allowed to say shma opposite that. Erva ba'ashashis, also likros kriya shma kinegda. However, if it's a part of somebody's body that's normally covered, and now it's uncovered, and you can see it through the lantern, you're not allowed to say shma. Tzoa ba'ashashis mutar likros kriya shma kinegda ditzoa b'kisu italia milsav ha'michsia. Why am I allowed to daven despite the tzoa being visible through the glass? Because it is covered. The cover is transparent, but it's fundamentally covered. And therefore, you're allowed to say Shema. That's okay. That's considered a cover. The Torah said, "V'shabta v'chisisas tzayasecha." You have to cover it up, and it's covered. Erva b'ashashis also likros kriya Shema kinegda because v'lo yerva chayavas davar amarachmana v'hakamischazia. Because when it comes to erva, the Torah put it explicitly as being about visibility. That's the idea. Now, didn't we say? Didn't the Rashba think lo yer erva chayer vas davar applies to tzoa, not only to erva? So the Rashba's answer is found in source Hey. I already said it as I was going through the Gemara, but you can see it in the Rashba there. He says, "Midarvinu rachmana v'kasvinu atravaihu ka'amar shalo yer'eh." From the fact that the Torah mixed together the two imperatives, one, erva should not be seen. Two, your machane should be holy. That tells me that the rule of avoid things that would make your machane unholy, as in tzoa, that applies. That has that the rule of lo ye'er b'char v'as tavar applies to that as well. You also shouldn't see the tzoa. So what's it going to do with our Gemara? Ela shegila l'cha kasuv she'en ha'hakpada b'ri'as tzoa, ela kishehi migula. The text makes clear that the concern for seeing tzawa is only if it is uncovered. Hakol shehi mechusa shari. If it's covered, you're fine. Dichsiv v'shavta v'chisisa tzeyasecha. Because the Torah says you're supposed to cover up the tzawa. V'ayinu tzawa bashashis. That's the case of the tzawa that you can see from the lantern. Detarti bo'inon. You require two elements in order to prohibit it. Number one, machanehu, v'nireis megula. It has to be in your machane, and it is revealed and visible, even if not visible to you, but visible to somebody. O shalo b'machanehu, v'nireis lamamash. Or it's not in your machane, but you can actually see it. But if it's mechusa mimenu mikol adam, but if it's covered from you and from everybody else, shari, it's permitted. And even if it's within arba amos, that will be true.
Sorry, what's the case where it's not in your machane? How do you see it?
So you're here, and you have doors, you have a doorway, and then it's right past the doorway. So it's not in your machane, or it's outside of your dalet amos even, potentially, but you can see it very clearly.
Anybody defines machane as dalet amos?
Yeah, that seems to be taken straight. So that's your third gemara.
Call a car, call a nirimo type of thing?
No.
Like that kind of concept?
Right, so apparently not. Apparently not. So that's your third Gemara. Your fourth Gemara that you have to see takes us into a new area of gross. You may have thought that you had hit peak gross, but you ain't even close yet. And this is a discussion about urine, as opposed to excrement. We start with a separate issue. The issue is, what happens if somebody davens in a space without checking? And then having davened, he then finds there was something there. Does that disqualify his davening? Do you have to go back now and daven again? So if you take a look at source Vav. Haya mispalal umatzat tzoa bimakomo. Someone is davening, and then afterwards he finds tzoa there. Amar Rabba, afa pi shechata tfila. So tfila, Rabba says, you were wrong, you should have checked, but the davening counts. Maskifle Rava. Rava asks Rava, what do you mean? I have a pasuk. Zevach Rishoyim Toeva, says the pasuk in Mishle. The sacrifice of the wicked is abhorrent, meaning this person didn't check. That shows they don't care. So they're a wicked person bringing a karban to God. That's not acceptable. How could you tell me that their davening counts? Ela Amar Rava. Rava says no. Since he sinned by not inspecting the area to be properly respectful to God, his davening doesn't count. Correct. He's going to have to daven again, preferably in a different space. But that's the statement. You blew it by not checking. So what if I have an area where I'm not sure?
I'm not checking.
Yeah, how do you like that, huh?
That's pretty
dramatic, no? Yeah. Yes. We're gonna.
Like he saw it and did it anyway.
Correct.
He failed. He didn't check.
Correct.
That's harsh.
Yes. We're gonna qualify it a little bit now in terms of where checking is required. But yes. So Amar Rav Yehuda in Sor Zion, Chav Hey Amad Aleph on the sheet. Rav Yehuda says, Safek Tsoa Asura. If you're in a place where there might be tzoa, not sure, and let's say it's night, so you can't investigate properly. So he says, you can't daven. If you're not sure, you can't daven. Safek me raglayim mutarim. If you're not sure whether there's urine there, then you are allowed to daven. That's the first version. Second version, Ika de Amri, some said it this way, Amar Rav Yehuda safek tzawa b'bayis muteres ba'ashpa asur. Rav Yehuda says, if you're not sure whether there's tzawa there and you're in your house, you can daven. The reason being, we generally assume there's no tzawa in somebody's house. I'm not talking about where you know there are little kids around in dirty diapers and whatever else. We're not dealing with a case like that. In a normal house, we assume there's no tzawa. So I didn't investigate, I didn't check, but it's, reasonable to think there's no tzoa, so you could daven. Ba'ashpa, whereas if you're out at the trash heap, then asura, then you're not allowed to, because there's a real possibility that somebody needed a bathroom and that's where they went. Safek me raglayim, but if it's urine that you're not sure about, afilu ba'ashpa nami mutarin, even in the trash heap, mutar. So in both versions of this, we're more lenient for urine than we are for solid waste. Why? So that's what the Gemara explains. Savar laki hada Rav Hamnuna. This is following the view of Rav Hamnuna, and this is why I brought it. Not for the discussion about where you didn't inspect, and are you sure, you're not sure, whatever it is. It's because of this line here. Rav Hamnuna says, Lo asra Torah el keneged amud bilvad. When it comes to urine, the Torah only prohibits when there's actually urine, liquid urine that emerges from a person, that's when this is a concern. How do you know that? How did you invent that idea? Uchad Rabbi Yonasan. It says Rabbi Yonasan taught. Rabbi Yonasan Rami. Rabbi Yonasan asked the following question. Ksiv. This is that passage that we read last week. The you shall have a space outside your camp, and you go outside the camp. That's the first pasuk. From that pasuk alone, I would have understood the only thing you need to do is make sure you deposit your waste outside the camp. That's all. Uchsiv, and they have another pasuk which says, V'yaseid t'yelecha, you have to have a shovel, and v'chisisas tzeyasecha, you cover up your excrement. So I don't understand. Is the requirement do it outside of the camp, or is the requirement cover up the excrement, that you actually have to cover it up? Ha-ketzad, kan begedolim, kan begetanim. The answer is, one is talking about solid waste, and one is talking about urine. Gedolim and ketanim doesn't refer to the age of the person. Gedolim means solid waste, ketanim means urine. That's the idea. So, in the event that it's the solid waste, you have to cover it up. In the event that it's liquid waste, you just do it outside the camp and just leave it. Yad is a space. Yateid is a shovel.
Yeah. Space.
Correct.
Space.
Yep. So the Gemara says, Alma, we see, Kitanim lo asra Torah ela keneged amud bilvad. With Kitanim, with urine, the Torah only is concerned about where there's urine actually emerging from a person. Hanafal ara shari. Once it falls on the ground, it's done. We're going to see more about that in a minute. But that's what he says. V'rabbanan hu degazru behu. The Rabbanan said, yeah, we still don't like this idea. Even if it's just a puddle on the ground, we don't like this idea. So mid rabbanan, we don't want you to daven there. But that's why, if you're not sure, you can make yo, because it's a safek on a derabbanan. V'chi gazru b'hu rabbanan b'vadan ava b'sfek on lo gazer. Actually, he says it even stronger. He doesn't say safek derabbanan. He says they only made the decree where you know that it's there. If you don't know that it's there, you're okay. So the what emerges from this gemara is that that urine is of a lesser concern than tsoa. Tsoa is a deoraisa. Urine is a derabanan, unless it's actually there emerging from a person. Once it's a puddle on the ground, it's a derabanan. Clear? Gross, but clear?
Puddle,
yeah.
Defined as interacting with the earth, or puddle defined as out of the body?
So we're getting there. We're getting there.
If there's some kind of a trench, so it's puddled, pooled,
right,
as opposed to the same amount, but just on a straight, which just,
Right, so I didn't want to be graphic, and it's probably my fault then for that. Amud means when it's actually emerging from the person. That's what amud means. Correct.
Oh, I thought it was from standing.
Yeah, it's not. It means when it's emerging from the person. A stream, correct. That's what amud means. That's correct. My fault for being delicate. They have 14 years in Canada. So,
Chaim.
Sorry?
28 seconds, it's over.
Yeah?
That's
okay.
The average amount of time it takes to urinate.
Okay, that's more information that I didn't have. Thank you.
I think it goes up with age, though.
So, in terms of where this all goes, there's one more Gemara you need to see, which can be very confusing. So I tried to make it a little bit clearer with the list in Ches. States of urine that when urine is on the ground. There is one state which is called matpiach. Matpiach actually can be two different things. Literally, matpiach means something that is so damp that when it touches something, it makes that thing damp also. That's what matpiach means. There's a second level, which is tofeach amenas lehatpiach, which means it is so damp that if it touches something, it makes that thing so damp that if that thing touches something, it'll make that thing, make the next stage thing wet. So it's even wetter, in other words. So matpiach is the most wet that we're talking about. Then the next stage is something which is rishuman nikar, which means it started to be absorbed in the ground, but you can still see that there was wet stuff there. And then the third, the last one, is nivlu'u oyavshu. It was absorbed in the ground, it's dried up already. You may know it was there, but you couldn't tell from looking at the spot. Okay, those are your three levels. Somebody I was talking to not that long ago has taken it upon himself. He's never learned Gemara before, did not go to yeshiva, and he's learning the Gemara Brachos with the Art Scroll Gemara. And he comes to me and he says, "You're spending page after page here talking about this." He's like, "That's what's in Gemara?" Well, yes. But you made it past the shade, didn't? So this Gemara here is going to talk about the question of at what stage urine is still a problem. So it's source test. Brachos Chaf Hayamid Aleph. Ubevada'an ad kama. We said, this is following on Sor Zion, right? Sor Zion said regarding urine, if you know it's there, then you have a Dirabanan issue. Even though it's not a stream coming from a person, Midirabanan, it's still usser. So the Gemara says, Ubabadan ad kama, where you know for sure the urine is present, it's a puddle. So to what extent is this a concern? Is it a concern until it dries up? Like, what's the deal? So Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, calls manshe matpichin. He says, as long as it is matpiach, he doesn't tell me what matpiach is. Right now, I just assume it means if it touches something, it'll make that thing damp. That's matpiach. And so said Rabbi Bar Chanan, Amar Yochanan, matpichin. And so said Ula calls manshe matpichin. If it is that wet, then you have a problem. But then you get an opposing statement. Geniva mishmei derav amar kolzman sherishuman nikar. What I had as the second level in source chas. He said, no, as long as its impression on the ground is still identifiable, it is a problem. So he's more strict. And this is quoting Rav. Rav always wins in debates like this. So this is a very important point. Amar Rava. Rava says, Hilchasa tsoa kecheres asura. What happens is I skipped a whole discussion about tsoa and what if the tsoa is starting to dry up and is that an issue? And I just figured I'm going to skip that. If somebody really wants to, they can open up the Gemara. But he says if tsoa is like pottery, it is asur. Umei raglayim kol zman shematpichen. But for urine, it's as long as it is matpiach. He goes with the initial standard of the Gemara, not with Rav's standard. Human.
Only
we're going to get to animal, but right now we're talking human. Oh. Yeah.
Now, this kecheres asura, so hard as kecheres is a...
So I didn't want to...
Is it a minimum
shear? No, that's like even at that stage.
It's still asura.
It's still asura, correct. Now, there are worse stages. It talks about where it dries up to the point where it's cracking and like, yeah.
So that wouldn't be worse, that would be better from a halachic.
Right.
From a dalim point of view.
Correct. Deteriorated further is what I mean to say. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Meisve. I don't understand. We learned me raglayim kol zman shemat pichin asurin nivlu'u oyavshu mutarim. Urine, as long as it makes things damp, is you're not allowed to daven. If it's absorbed or if it dries up, you are able to daven. End of quote. Right now that doesn't seem like a problem, but then Gemara unpacks it. My lav nivlu'u dum yodiyavshu. Presumably, when you said absorbed or dried up, those must be, parallel to each other. Ma yavshu de'ein rishuman nikar. Dried up means dried up to the point where you can't tell that it was ever there. Af nivlu de'ein rishumo nikar. So too, if it was swallowed up, we mean it was absorbed to the point where you can't tell that it was ever there. Implying harishuman nikar aser. Af agav de'ein matpichin. That means that if you can tell it was there, it's a problem. even though it's not matpichin. You follow? We gave a hierarchy of three cases. Case A is dampening, makes things damp. Case B, you can see that it was there. Case 3, absorbed or dried up. Once you tell me that if it's case C, you're okay, that means that case B, you're not okay. But you told me that the only case that's not okay is case A. So what's the halacha in case B? You can't tell me A is bad, C is good, because now I don't understand what happened to B. That's our problem. That's what the Gemara is dealing with. So the Gemara says, well, your problem, the way you just framed it, is that case C being no good implies that case B is okay. I'm sorry, the other way around. You're saying that case C, you're allowed to daven, means case B, you're not allowed to daven. But go back to the resha, which said, that case A is the only one where you can't daven. Harishuma nikar shari. That means in case B, you are able to daven. This is a mess. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right, throw it out. Elamai halak alamashmam, you know, you're right, we can't learn anything from that source. There's nothing to do. Lema kitanoi. So the Gemara says, well, let's look at this machlokes tanoim. Kli shenishpachu mimenu me raglayim. Asur likros kriya shma kenegdo. If there is a bedpan that held urine, and the urine was spilled out, so now you just have a dirty bedpan, you're not allowed to say shma with the bedpan. We're going to come back to the bedpan status. You can see it's the next section on the sheet. Umei raglayim atzman shenishpachu. What about the urine itself that spilled out on the ground? Nivlu mutter. If it's absorbed in the ground, you're fine. You can daven. Lo nivlu, did not get absorbed in the ground, aser, you're not allowed to daven. So according to this, case C, you're allowed to daven. Case A, you're not. Case B, you're not. Rabbi Yossi Omer calls manshem atpichin. Rabbi Yossi says, as long as it makes things damp, you're not allowed to daven. In other words, case A, it seems. But case B, you'd be okay. So the Gemara says, my nivlu'u, my lo nivlu'u, deka amar Tanakama. When the Tanakama said, if it's absorbed, you are allowed to daven. Not absorbed, you're not allowed to daven. What did he mean by that? Ilema nivlu'u de'ein matpichin, lo nivlu'u de matpichin. If absorbed means case B and case C, va'asu Rabbi Yossi lememar calls manshe matpichin u da'asar, harbishuma nikar shari. But then along comes Rabbi Yossi and he says, if it makes things damp, it's asar. Otherwise, you're fine. Hainu Tanakama. Then they agree with each other. That doesn't work. They're saying the same thing. Did I lose everybody? No? Good? Okay. So I don't understand the structure of the cases. So the Gemara says, that can't be it. It can't be Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakama agree. Ela nivlu, rather, when the Tanakama said it's all about whether it's absorbed or not, de'in rishuma nikar. He means if it's absorbed, that means that you can't tell that it was ever there before. Lo nivlu, if it's not absorbed, that's rishumo nikar. You are able to tell that it was there before. In other words, in case B, you can't daven, according to the Tanakama. Va'as Rabbi Yossi lemeimar kol zman shematpichinu da'asar harishuma nikar shari. And Rabbi Yossi is coming in to tell you that no, in case B, you are allowed to daven. That's the machlokas Tanakama Rabbi Yossi. That's what we want to say. To which the Gemara says, lo, Dekule alma kol zman shematpichinu huda asur harishuma nikar shari. Everybody agrees. In the event that it makes things damp, you're not allowed to daven. If you can just tell that it was there, case B, you are allowed to daven. Then what was the machlokas about between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi? The two levels of atpiach, exactly. V'hacha betofeach amenas la'atpiach ika beinayu. The debate is, this tofeach amenas la'atpiach, does it have to be so wet that if something touches it, that thing can make other things damp? Or is it enough that just whatever touches it becomes damp? That's all that we were asking about. That was the debate between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi. So what's the upshot of all of these Gemaras about being in proximity to Soa, being in proximity to urine? Like, where does this leave us? So the answer is, Soa is a problem if it is uncovered and it is located within your four amos or anywhere you could see it that's not set off by a physical boundary. That was, we knew that already last week. Urine is a problem, midrabanan, if it is damp, with some debate about just how damp, you know, presents a problem. If you're in a place where urine is normally found, you're not obligated to check. Because this, you know, unless you talk about a stream, but other than that, it's a derabanan. They didn't make a derabanan unless you know that it's there. If it's solid waste that's normally in the space, then you have an obligation to check, so much so that if you didn't check and then you found it, you have to daven again. There may be a kula in the event that you are moving, according to Rav Huna, or for that matter, if the tsoa is moving, is a whole other piece in the Gemara. I'm not really going to spend time on that because I think it's less relevant for the healthcare setting question. You know, so I'm just going to leave that. We have enough things to be confused about. But that's the basics of tsoa in your environment. And now we're going to move on to talk about equipment that hand holds it. Make what a cooler?
You're
talking about the urine case. Yeah, the language of the Gemara was that they didn't make a gzera for that case. Yeah. So what we're going to be doing, just to make sure we're clear, is once we've seen all of the Gemaras, then we move into the Shulchan Aruch and the Nishmas Avraham and application to medical things. I just want us to have the background in terms of where this is coming from. So the next segment is the bedpan. The issue of entities that hold urine, entities that hold solid waste, but are empty right now. And the basic halacha is we treat the kli, we treat the receptacle like the excrement itself. That's the basic principle. The Gemara in Source Yud, Brachos Chafheyam Edbeis, Tanu Rabbanon, Graf Shel Re'ei, right, we're used to this term from Shabbos in Muktzah discussions. But what it means is a pile of excrement, you know, graf, legrof, is to sweep, like it gets swept up together. V'avit shalmei raglayim, or a pan from urine. Aser likros kriya shma kenegdan, you're not allowed to say shma opposite them. V'af api she'en ben klum, even if they are empty. Doesn't make a difference. You're still not allowed to. You just have an empty bedpan in the room. You're not allowed to say Shema.
This is a bedpan that's been used and then dumped, but
yes,
not washed, or one that.
So we'll have to talk about that. It's a good question. Hang in there. The part that I skipped here talks about diluting the urine, and I just figured I was going to skip that. But then it says bein lefnei hamita, bein la'achar hamita. This problem, you may not daven with the bedpan there, is true whether the bed is between you and the bedpan or not. Doesn't make a difference. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer la'achar hamita kore. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says no. If it's behind the bed, so you don't see it, it's not in your space, then you're fine. Lefnei hamita eino kore. But if it's in front of the bed, then no. Aval marchik hu arba amos v'kore. You have to be 4 amos away. And Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar disagrees, and he says, "Afilu bayis mea amalo yikrat sheyotzi moshe anichim tachas hamita." He says, "No, no, no! Either cover it up or get it out of there. I don't care if your house is 100 amos; doesn't make a difference according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. You can't have it anywhere in your space." When he says house, he means room. You have to recognize that he doesn't mean house literally. So right now, this sounds like it's a very big problem because you talk about hospital settings and bedpans are there and so on. But there's a very important tosfos in Soros Yad Aleph on Graf Shalrei. Pirish Rashi, Shel Cheres Bolua. Rashi says that this Graf Shalrei we're talking about is made out of pottery and it absorbs stuff. Mashma tosfos says, that implies, Mashma LePerusho, Aval kli delo bala, if you have a receptacle that doesn't absorb, kigon zechuches, like glass, efshir deshari, it could be that it would be permissible. And from this, we're going to see in the Nishmas Avram discussions of equipment which is washed and cleaned, then is it still a problem? This also becomes a discussion, maybe we'll talk about it as well. It's a little further afield, but the bathrooms that we now have, which are not the same as the bathrooms that they had and what the Gemara calls Persian bathrooms. We'll see. Maybe we'll get to that as well. We'll have to see. But this is another area of complication, equipment that normally holds excrement. Last part of this gauntlet. What about a bad smell? So two kinds of bad smell. One, a bad smell, like from methane gas. A person needs to use the washroom and there's a smell associated with that. And the other is general revolting smells that, you know, aren't necessarily excrement related at all. They're just, you know, something that smells terrible in the vicinity. So the Gemara in Brachos Chavdal Adam Adbeis. Haya Omeid Bitfila, Tzoris Yid Beis. Haya Omeid Bitfila, Vinis Atesh. I see somebody just joined. I'll put the link again for the source sheet. There. Source sheet base. If somebody is davening and that person passes gas, the word nisatesh sometimes means to sneeze, but it clearly does not in this case. Mamtin ad sheyichla haruach v'chozer umispalel. So he has to wait. Can't keep going in Shmona Esrei. He has to wait. And then, fine, then you can continue davening. Ika de Amri, alternate version of this text, Hayomid bitfila ubikesh lehis adesh, a person is davening and feels the need that he has to pass gas. Marchik la'achba barba amos umis adesh. He should walk away. Step out of Shmona Esrei, walk four amos, do what you have to do. Umamdinat sheikh la haruach, wait for the smell to dissipate, v'chozer umispalel, and then go back and daven. So what we see here is that one's own gas is a problem for oneself when davening. That's what you get from this. Source Yud Gimel. Yeah.
Is la'achara specific to that? Does it mean necessarily backwards?
I would think not. I would think not. It's an interesting question. I would think not, because this isn't about visibility at all. It's just about smell.
What's the reason that you have to move? If you still have to wait till the ruach passes, then what's the value in moving? In the first version,
I think the idea is that the smell won't reach him in the place where he's davening with the same intensity and the same duration as if
so it doesn't cut down on the wait time.
Correct. That's what I think. I think that's correct. So the Gemara in Yud Gimel gives us greater detail here. Itmar. Reach ra sheyesh lo ikar. We distinguish between a bad smell that has a root to it and a bad smell that's just there. Meaning, there can be a foul smell because there was a patient in the room and the patient, you know, wasn't able to go to the bathroom and did whatever they did in the bedpan on the bed. And there's a smell that's wafting from that, right? You have a hospital room that has more than one patient in it. So this is going on in the next space, right? And there's a curtain. One of the things we'll talk about from the Nishmas Avram next week is, does the curtain between patients qualify as a barrier? That's one of the things we have to talk about. But the smell that's coming from the patient in the next bed, in the event that that patient actually did something, that's yesh lo ikar. That means there's a basis from which the smell is emerging. As opposed to ein lo ikar, if it doesn't have a basis, and what that means is it's just somebody passed gas. So we're going to make a distinction between those two cases. Reach rasha yesh lo ikar, where there is a basis for it, where it's coming from actual substance. Rav Huna amar marchek arba amos b'korei kriya shma. Rav Huna says you have to distance yourself four amos, meaning from, right now it sounds like from the base where the smell is coming from. That's what it sounds like right now. And then you could say shma. Rav Chista amar marchek arba amos mimakom shepasak hareach v'korei kriya shma. Rav Chista says no, the smell itself is a reason not to be able to daven. You have to be four amos away from where the smell ends in order to be able to daven. And Tanya Kavase de Rav Chista, I have a brisa supporting Rav Chista. Lo yikra adam kriya shma lo keneged soas adam velo keneged soas klavim velo keneged soas chazirim. You're not allowed. I told you we're going to come back to the question of animal excrement also. So you're not allowed to say shma with human excrement as well as excrement from dogs or from pigs. Velo keneged soas tarnagolim or from chickens and roosters. Velo keneged soas ashpa shareich ra or from general trash heap that just smells bad. If, however, the space where the trash heap is 3 feet higher from the normal ground level, or 3 feet lower, it's in some kind of a pit, then you could sit right next to it. As long as you don't smell it, you're okay. It's in a different domain, correct? And you could say Shema. And if not, then Marchek Meloena. If you actually have to distance yourself far enough away that you can't see the stuff. And this isn't only for Shema, it's also for Shmona Esrei. Reach ra sheyesh lo ikar marchik arba amos mimakom ha-reach v'korei kriya Shema. You want to say Shema, you want to say Shmona Esrei. In the event that there is a foul smell that's emerging from actual substance, you have to be 4 amos, about 7 feet, from where the smell ends. That's what this brisa says. Rava disagrees. Rava says it's not true. Amar Rava less hilchasa ki hamas nisa. Rava says I don't follow this brisa. It's not correct. Ela kiha, rather like the following brisa. Disanya, I have a different brisa which says the lo yikra adam kriya shma lo keneged soas adam lo keneged soas chazirim lo keneged soas klavim bizman shenasan oros lesochan. He says some of this excrement that we're talking about is only an issue if they actually put leather, put hides in them. And what he's talking about is the fact that they would use this to tan hides, and that would create a special foul smell. That's when I'm concerned about the animal excrement. But otherwise, he's not concerned. I'm not going to spend real time on the animal excrement. We have enough to deal with the humans, and it's less relevant in the healthcare settings. But right now, what we're saying is that in the event that the smell is coming from actual stuff, then you have to move 4 amos away from where the smell ends. That's where it's yeshlo ikar, where it has a base. Questions? Anyone online have a question? Okay. Then concluding the Gemara in Suris Yud Gimel, Bo minei me Rav Sheshes. They asked Rav Sheshes a question. Reach ra she'ein lo ikar mahu. What if it isn't coming from anything solid? It's just the person passed gas and that's it. Amar lehu, so he said, Asu chazu hani tzipi debe rav. I added the word machatzalos in the Gemara to explain. That's mattresses. He says, come and see the mattresses in the yeshiva. Dahani ganu vahanu garsi. You have some people who are sleeping, and you have some people who are learning. And his point is to say, when people are sleeping, sometimes they pass gas. That happens. And yet, they're sitting and learning in yeshiva, and these other people are sleeping right there. There's going to be smell. Vahani mili b'divrei Torah, abo b'kriya shmalo. But that's only in terms of learning Torah that you're allowed to do this. The shma you would not be allowed to say. In other words, if you can smell the gas from somebody else, you can't say shma. V'divrei Torah nami lo amran, ela d'chavrei avodi de lo. And in terms of learning Torah, that's only if it's somebody else's gas. But if it's from oneself, then it is indeed a problem. A person who passes gas has to go somewhere else to learn Torah. They're not allowed to do that. Clear? That's the idea. So what emerges again is that we have the concern about soa that is on one's person. We have the concern about soa that is in one's physical space. Certainly if you can see it. But even if you can't see it, but it's in your physical space, it may well be an issue. We have the issue of urine, although that's not as serious as the tzoa. We have the issue of the bedpans, with a potential distinction, as Tosfo says, where they're clean, and of a material that doesn't absorb. We have problems with gas as well. And then last Gemara is Soris Yadalit, it's Yerushalmi. Tani, we learned. Marchikim mitzoas adam arba amos. You distance yourself 4 amos from excrement from a person. Umitzoas klavim arba amos, and from a dog 4 amos. Ubishashu nosin laoros. He says when they put in the leather in order to tan the leather, creates a worse smell. And then the key line. Rabbi Yirmiyah b'shem Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah quotes Rabbi Zera to say, nevela shenisricha. Also, in the event that you have a nevela is an animal corpse, and it's rotting, sarach laharchek mimena arba amos, you also have to distance yourself 4 amos from that. So rotting meat also requires the distancing. So it's not just the smell of tsoa, urine, whatever, but also other foul smells. So what I want to do next time, now that we've seen all the different Gemaras, is to ask, so where does this go practically in Shulchan Aruch? And then, using the Nishmas Avram, how does this apply both in terms of the healthcare practitioner, and also, I want to get to, and this part we may need the following week for, but the status of the patient who has, you know, a colostomy, ileostomy, or catheter, you know, what is their status in terms of their ability to be able to daven? So, God willing, next week, 7:30, we will resume. Okay. Thank you very much. Chaim, it's great to see you.
Thank you.
Is there a second for a question?
Yeah, please, go ahead.